From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday. That's right, it is Hump Day, March 9th, 2016. We are so honored. Wherever you are right now, whether it be at work, in your car, or maybe you're even max taxing and relaxing at home, that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We've got a hot, hot show today, as I will be inviting Rob Smith to the show. Rob is the head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team, the Trojans. Got a pretty big win last night that now puts them in the regional championship. Yeah, we'll give you an update on that. We will also be chatting about boys high school basketball playoff action as they resume the district tournament. Tonight, you will get to hear from head coach Steve Fittimore as the East Lansing boys basketball team. They topped Lansing Waverly 2 days ago. And they resume play tonight as they will take on now DeWitt. You don't want to miss that. We'll also discuss the Maria Sharapova drug situation. And on the back end of the show, we'll give you guys a preview of the Big Ten tournament, which take place today out in Indy. And also news concerning UFC president Dana White and him blaming Holly Holm's manager for her taking home the L over the weekend. That and more. Be a part of today's show by calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, first, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we begin with an update of what took place last night during girls high school basketball regional semifinal action. In Class A, East Lansing top Battle Creek Lakeview 56-32. Again, we'll have Rob Smith on the show to talk about the victory from last night with the Trojans. Also, Jackson Northwest, they top Kalamazoo Central by 2 points, 59-57. That is who the East Lansing Trojans will take place in the regional finals tomorrow. St. John's top Lapeer, 53-28. In Class B, Grand Rapids South Christian beat Williamston, 59-53. Portland top Eden Rapids, 47-45, a close one there. We move to Class C, Ypsilanti Ann Arbor Prep top Pawamo Westphalia, 57-40. Ithaca top New Lothrop, 53-41. Believe that's the first ever regional final appearance by the Ithaca girls basketball team. Congratulations to them. And in Class D, Portland St. Patrick, they beat Manistee Catholic Central 46-43. More on girls high school regional action in just a moment. We now move to the Michigan State Women's Basketball Awards Banquet. The Michigan State Women's Basketball team celebrated the 2015-16 season to this point at its annual banquet Tuesday night on the main floor of the Breslin Center. On a festive night, the Spartans honored seniors Jasmine Hines, Kara Miller, and Akaya Taylor. For the third straight season, Ariel Powers was honored with the team's Player of the Year Award. Junior guard Tori Jankowska was the recipient of the Playmaker Award, and senior forward Akaya Taylor won Defensive Player of the Year and took home the Spartan Hustle Award. What a great night it was at the Brez, I'm sure. Jordan Faust scored 16 points in the Green Bay Phoenix, wrapped up a spot in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1996 by beating Wright State 78-69 last night in the Horizon League title game. Now, Wright State was playing in the title game for the third time in 4 years, but hasn't made it to the NCAA tourney since 2007. The Phoenix apparently caught the attention of another Green Bay star, a message on Aaron Rodgers' Twitter account that said, quote, "Let's go, UWGB." Showed up on Tuesday night. So Aaron Rodgers, a fan of this Cinderella Green Bay team. Really excited to see how far they can go. All right, the Detroit Red Wings entered their game against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night on the road, eyeing two crucial points in the race for a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. By the final minute of a frantic third period at Nationwide Arena, they were hoping for at least a point, Despite a valiant effort, the Red Wings did not get it, losing 5-3 to the Blue Jackets. The Wings currently sit in the eighth spot of the Eastern Conference, just ahead of Philadelphia. The Detroit Pistons. Yeah, news concerning that failed trade over Dontis Mantaeunas. The Pistons' cancellation of that trade is not going away quietly. Mantaeunas said he got, quote, screwed by the Pistons, failing him on his post-trade physical. The Pistons say it was all legitimate. By now, the NBA, the players' union of the NBA, I should say, they might get involved on Mantaeunas' behalf. According to Yahoo.com, Mark J. Spears reports that the National Basketball Players Association is strongly considering filing a grievance with the league. It is not clear what will result from such a grievance. Boy, that's an interesting one. All right, the drug at the center of Maria Sharapova's doping case, regularly given to Soviet troops in the 1980s to boost their stamina while fighting in Afghanistan, is normally prescribed for medical use for periods of 4 to 6 weeks. Sharapova, a five-time Grand Slam champion in the world of tennis, faces possible sanctions after testing positive for melatonin, also known as Meldotrate, a drug the Russian tennis player star said that she had been using for 10 years. Her lawyer, John J. Haggerty, declined to go into specifics on Tuesday, but said during a conference call that he wanted to, quote, disabuse the concept that Maria took Mildronate every day for 10 years, because that's simply not the case. And lastly, UFC president Dana White never liked the idea of Holly Holm taking a fight before a potential rematch against Ronda Rousey. According to White, the UFC is now eyeing a third fight between Miesha Tate and Ronda Rousey later this year, and he blames Holm's longtime manager Lenny Francoez for the divisional shakeup. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. It is now time to start the show.
A lot of the things that they do amusing. They need to check themselves sometimes. But just remember, pride comes before the fall.
Anything specific?
Just hear, pride comes before the fall.
When you
can you tell my tone?
All right.
This game is an important game. This game is an important game. So they want to mock us all they want to mock us. I'm telling them, it's not over. So they can print all that crap all they want all over their locker room. It's not over. It'll never be over here. It's just starting. Go ahead. Want to talk about Purdue a little bit?
You see Hart's little brother comment? Is that something?
Does Hart have a little brother? Or is he the little brother? I don't know. He's... So I didn't really see that comment, but you know, like I said, it's let's just say I won't comment on that. You know, as I said earlier, I guess I can't help myself. As I said earlier, it's not over. You know, I'm gonna be a coach here for a long time. It's not over. It's just starting.
Welcome to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Does that song not get you fired up? That is actually my favorite song of all time, for those who don't know. Phil Collins in the air tonight. And the reason I decided to pair that song with Mark D'Antonio's comments concerning U of M back in the day, addressing the little brother comments from then Michigan running back Mike Hart, is because it's my favorite D'Antonio moment, okay? And during that press conference and listening to Mark D'Antonio talk about U of M and that liking, I mean, you hear everything that makes up who D'Antonio is. You know, passion, you know, a will to win. He's so competitive. But at the same time, he does keep it classy. I mean, he could have said a lot of things there. But he just said, you know what, pride comes before the fall. That's a classy way to say, you know what, we're going to get you. And I wanted to start off the show with Mark D'Antonio, because guess what, folks? It is Mark D'Antonio's birthday. Happy birthday, Coach D. That's right, the coach turns 60 years old today, born on March 9th, 1956, out in El Paso, Texas. I didn't know that until I looked that up today. Out in Texas, Coach D, born in Texas. He's had quite a ride before eventually ending up here at Michigan State as the head coach, starting back in 2007. 1980, he was with Ohio. 1981, Purdue. 82, Butler. 83 to 84, Ohio State. 1985, Akron. 86 to 90, Youngstown State. 91 to 94, Kansas. 95 to 2000, Michigan State, if you remember with Nick Saban. 2001 to 2003, Ohio State. Then, of course, Cincinnati. 2004 to 2006, and Michigan State in 2007. So quite the ride for Coach D. But I wanted to say congratulations to Coach D for getting to the big 6-0. And happy birthday, Coach D. Definitely wanted to tip my cap to him to start today's show. Folks, we've got a great one in store for all of you out there. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to throw this out there as well, because I've been getting a few emails concerning Current Sports TV. I want to let you guys know that, of course, we are preempted until March 23rd due to it being the month of pledge here at WKAR. As many of you have been tuning in to WKAR TV, and you've been seeing, of course, our constant hits, asking you all out there if you love the programming that we have here at WKAR, well, chip in, become a member, donate. We certainly thrive off of your support. We would not be here if it wasn't for you. So with that being said, and with that taking place, Current Sports will not be back on the airwaves until March 23rd. That's when we get it popping again. Of course, we record each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. On March 23rd, I'll be sitting down with the head coach of the Lansing Everett High School boys basketball team. He is the assistant coach there, I should say, of the Vikings, Dale Beard, who also was Magic Johnson's point guard during Magic's playing days in high school at Everett. So you don't want to miss that, and hopefully by the time March 23rd rolls around, the Vikings will still be in competition, seeing as though the playoffs did start this week. Everett is still in contention, getting that round one opening round game of districts out the way and getting a dub there. So Dale Beer will be my guest on March 23rd. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. And also, I'm going to throw this out there, because I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on this. During the back end of the show, we will be discussing Holly Holm and also Conor McGregor, two of UFC's biggest stars who took losses over the weekend. Two upsets, two of the biggest stars in the game getting upset on the same night. And, you know, interesting dialogue that's been happening between fans of the sport and also the UFC president, Dana White, concerning superstars. And this is a conversation that really has no boundaries in just the world of UFC. What I want to know, and this is our current sports question of the day for all of you out there, does a sport hurt or benefit when its superstars face defeat, whether that be a juggernaut team or a juggernaut single athlete, depending on the sport, tennis, golf, the individual sports. So again, I want to know, does a sport hurt or benefit when its superstars face defeat? Certainly a double-edged sword here, in my opinion. You'll get my thoughts, again, on the back end of the show on that subject. But call in. I want to get your thoughts on that. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, I want to talk high school boys basketball for a second. I didn't get a chance to highlight one of the games of the day. One of the games of the night, I should say, in the world of boys high school basketball district action. Of course, districts opened on Monday with the boys. And I was actually at East Lansing High School that night to check out the East Lansing versus Lansing Waverly boys basketball game. And, you know, it's so intriguing when you look at this district. This is a Class A district, East Lansing hosting district action. This is an East Lansing team that did not lose a game all year. We're talking 20-0. Again, 20-0. And they came into this matchup at 19-0 before they got the win over Waverly, facing a Waverly team that went 13-6 on the year coming into that matchup. Finished second in the CAAC Red, East Lansing winning the CAAC Blue outright. A fun game. But at first, I will say this, though. At first, especially after that first quarter, I thought the East Lansing was going to run away with this and just stomp on them the entire way. It was 23-9 after the first quarter. East Lansing got off to a 9-4 lead in the first quarter. All threes, all three-pointers. Steve Finnemore's team, they love to shoot the basketball from behind the arc. We saw players like Brandon Johns, Caleb Hoekstra, which you can make an argument that Caleb Hoekstra is the best shooter in the state. The kid is lights out. And also, Weston Miles, 9-4 lead over Lansing Waverly, all on three-pointers. East Lansing wanted to push the ball. They did a great job of moving the ball in that first quarter. Jaden Sutton, though, of Waverly, he was on attack mode and really became a catalyst as that game went on. Because in the second quarter, Lansing Waverly made a bit of a run. And it was only a 9-point game at halftime. 32-23 at halftime. That was your score. And, you know, Waverly, though, watching that game, they had plenty of opportunities to make that thing even more competitive than that going into halftime, because they had a lot of easy boards right in front of the rim that just didn't find the bottom of the basket. And there was a moment at the four-minute mark of that game, and you'll hear in a second when we play this snippet of my interview with Steve Finnemore, who was the head coach of the Trojans. But there was a moment at the four-minute mark when Weston Miles was taken out. He sits out. And Finnemore, you know, kind of gives him a lesson, because there were a few mental errors that Weston Miles had made. Steve Finnemore, he sits him down right next to him, talks to him a bit, and then puts him right in. Folks, that's coaching. That is coaching. And you're going to hear an interesting snippet from Steve Finnemore in just a second as to how he puts that moment in perspective. And then as that game went on, you know, East Lansing just kind of came out of halftime with the eye of the tiger, so to speak. Okay, 61-48 was the final. East Lansing now moves on to play DeWitt tonight at 7:30 at East Lansing High School. And the game before that should be a fun one as well. Lansing Eastern got a first round bye, as well as DeWitt. That's why we didn't see them on Monday. So Grand Ledge will play Lansing Eastern at 5 p.m. at East Lansing High School. Grand Ledge went 15-6 on the year. They finished second in the CAAC Blue, right behind East Lansing. And again, the game after that will be DeWitt and East Lansing. But here is Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, right after that win over Lansing Waverly on Monday.
A lot of people forgot about Weston Miles. He's one of the best players in the area. He's so underrated. He does so many little things, and he's really crafty with the ball. He shares it, and he can score it, so he brings another element. We were 4-0 without him. And I think people forgot that he was on our team, to tell you the truth. He comes from a basketball-rich family, and like you said, we have another ball handler out there.
Steve, there was a moment, though, when you took him out of the game and had him sit next to you. What did you tell him, and you put him immediately back in 3 plays later?
I think what kids do when they come back after being injured and not playing, they kind of force the issue a little bit. So we told him, let the game come to you. He hit a three-pointer in rhythm. And he made a couple of nice moves after that. Sometimes kids, you got to take them out of the game to talk to them, to calm them down. You can't let them play through mistakes. That's the biggest myth in the world. Tom Izzo takes guys out when they don't do things the right way. So we take guys out to explain to them, let them think about it for a few seconds, and then we always put them back in the game.
You made that look easy, but that's a rough opener with Waverly, isn't it?
It really is. We played them on Thursday, and Craig Fields, I have the utmost respect for him. He's one of the best coaches in this area. His kids play hard. They're competitors, and this was a scary game.
What's that? 20 down and 6 to go? Is that where we're at now?
We're 1-0 right now. Second season, we're 1-0. It's a three-game second season.
So seriously, that undefeated stuff is old news now. You're in a new season, aren't you?
Yeah, you know what? I forgot our record, to tell you the truth, regular season. I forgot it.
So you guys are feeling no pressure to live up to that 19-0?
No. You know what we do? Anybody, they said, are you guys going to change what you do? Are you adding anything? Are you taking somebody out? We're doing the same thing we've done all year. We're not changing a thing. Yeah, they're all underclassmen except for B.J. Powell. He's our starting point guard. We were on the two-year plan before we came in this year. We said, listen, let's make a run this year. Let's learn from it, and then we'll come back, and next season, you know, possibly win the state championship with everyone back. Brandon Johns, in my eyes, I saw the list of Mr. Basketball candidates. He's the second best player in all those guys, so Brandon can win Mr. Basketball. Cassius Winston, yeah, but Brandon's one of the best players in the state.
Steve, can you put in perspective just how important it is for you guys to host a district?
You know what? It happens, and it's just the way it goes. I don't complain about it. It's great for our shooting. We feel comfortable. We sleep in our own beds. That's a joke. But we have our own locker room, so I liked it. But we shoot the ball well everywhere. I saw them beat Everett last Wednesday on that second night, on the first night, the makeup game. Well coached, play hard. They play the right way, DeWitt. We got our hands full. We're going to get right to the film as soon as I get home. I'm going to start watching DeWitt's film. We had a nice game plan against the Waverly, though, tonight. Our coaches do a great job. I'm addicted to this. I'll stay up and watch 4 or 6 hours of film overnight. I only got 4 hours sleep last night, so I love this. This is like my NBA playoffs, my NCAA tournament. We talk about Mayweather. We talk about the Warriors. We talk about Ronda Rousey. You know, you're getting everybody's best shot. I even brought up Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. They said, Coach, who's Mike Tyson? Guys on the shoot a week ago, I brought up the Buster Douglas thing, and they didn't know. So I told them, go on YouTube. Well, go to Dr. Google, because they learn all their stuff from there, and that's just the way it is.
Steve, what was Winston out with?
He had a dislocated shoulder. He got popped in practice. We're real competitive in practice. I make those guys fight. You know, you watch MSU for so many years. Caleb Hoekstra just slammed into him and dislocated his shoulder.
And when did that happen?
About 3 weeks ago.
How's he feeling now?
Great. He's great. Yeah, he's great.
So he just missed those last four games in a row.
He wanted to play that Lansing Catholic game.
Who's that?
But it was canceled due to the snow.
Yeah.
So
have you seen any? Did you see any after effects of that dislocated shoulder today, Steve?
In the beginning. Okay. And last game against Waverly on Thursday, he kind of forced the issue. He was, you know, favoring it. We pulled him out in time, though, tonight.
Yeah, so there you have that. That was Steve Finnemore, the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. A few interesting tidbits. Again, East Lansing topping Waverly on Monday night, the opening round of district tournament action, 61-48, the final of that game. I loved how Steve talked about playing through mistakes, though. You know, even though he took out Weston Miles at the very beginning of that game due to a few mental errors, he took him out, sat him next to him. They talked about what went wrong, what needs to happen, what adjustments need to happen in order for him to get back on the same page as his teammates. Then he put him right back in. A great learning lesson right there. I absolutely love that. Also, Weston Miles, the dislocated shoulder. We did see him with a brace on his shoulder playing in that game. And now looking at it, when Steve said that after the game, I did see Weston kind of favoring it as the game went on. He did get bumped a few times. You know, it's very physical. This is postseason play we're talking about. And I love how Steve runs his program, though. You know, he runs it a lot like how Tom Izzo does. And that's no coincidence, folks. If you remember, Steve Finnemore was a team manager for the squad back in the early 2000s. He was a part of that 2000 team that won a national championship with Mateen Cleaves and company. And There's been books written about that squad and how they used to practice, okay? They used to go at it. Sometimes they would go to blows. There were fights during those practices. Steve runs his camp, and sort of like that. Maybe not to that extreme, but, hey, it's physical, it's tough, it's competitive. I absolutely love that. And also, Mike Tyson, the kids don't know who Mike Tyson is today? Are you kidding me? Am I getting old? Are we getting old out there, folks? That's crazy. How do the kids today not know about Mike Tyson getting beat by Buster Douglas? Absolutely mind-boggling. All right, folks, I want to play this snippet for you before we hit our first break. Again, we have Rob Smith, head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. He's going to join me on the airwaves to talk about the Trojans' win last night to propel them now to the regional final, which will take place tomorrow night. You don't want to miss that, but I want to play this bite that I hope sparks some conversation for you guys out there to call in concerning Maria Sharapova and a certain drug that she took that is actually illegal in her sport. Check out how this press conference went.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here on short notice. I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test, and I take full responsibility for it. For the past 10 years, I have been given a medicine called Mildronate by my family doctor. And a few days ago, after I received the ITF letter, I found out that it also has another name of Meldonium, which I did not know. It's very important for you to understand that for 10 years, this medicine was not on WADA's ban list, and I had been legally taking the medicine for the past 10 years. But on January 1st, the rules had changed, and Meldonium became a prohibited substance, which I had not known. I was given this medicine by my doctor for several health issues that I had back in 2006. I was getting sick a lot. I was getting the flu every couple of months. I had irregular EKG results, as well as indications of diabetes with a family history of diabetes. I thought it was very important to come out and speak about this in front of all of you, because throughout my long career, I have been very open and honest about many things, and I take great responsibility and professionalism in my job every single day, and I made a huge mistake.
Yes, that was a snippet from the Maria Sharapova press conference that took place this week. 5 Grand Slam singles titles, $40 million in career prize money. She has established herself as a power player in the world of tennis. However, with this announcement, again, Sharapova admitting that she took Meldronate, a cardiac drug, for 10 years for health reasons. She said she was prescribed the medicine by a family doctor when she was 16 because she was getting flu-like symptoms, had irregular EKGs, and signs of diabetes even, which does run in her family. The question that I pose out there is, what should the world of tennis do, and how should the sports officials in the world of tennis, how should they handle this situation? Call in. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You'll get my thoughts later on in the show. And as we're taking your calls, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be inviting our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Rob Smith. He is the head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Hi, I'm Armin Alney. On the next To the Point, Hillary Clinton may be unstoppable, but Bernie Sanders says he won't go away, and he may be leading a movement that defies the Democratic establishment. Will the party remember history or repeat the mistakes that led to devastating losses in 1968 and 1972? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point, this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
You listen to Current State because you want to be informed about the world around you. That's why we bring you thoughtful conversations on topics that matter, like early childhood education.
We know that lack of quality preschool education is one of the biggest indicators to underperformance for low-income students.
I'm Current State producer April Van Buren. Tune in for your daily dose of information and entertainment weekdays at 9 and 6 on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a dear friend of Current Sports and WKAR. His name is Rob Smith, head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. They topped Battle Creek Lakeview last night, 56-32, to now advance to the regional final, in which they will take on Jackson Northwest tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Rob, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, Al. I'm doing awesome. I couldn't ask for a better time of year. This is a basketball coach's dream, this March Madness thing.
Isn't it? It's so exciting. My favorite time of the sporting year, without a doubt. And Rob, you know what? You haven't been this close to a state title since the 2012-2013 year, losing in districts to Hazlitt and DeWitt the past 2 years. First off, how good does it feel just to be back in this position?
It's just awesome to be in the conversation and then actually, you know, bring home a championship in what some have called the hardest district in the state. And, you know, then really to be able to go into a regional and not play very well, but be so primed from the competition of the past that we were able to easily win by 25. And, you know, just looking forward to competing with a very, very good 23-2 Jackson Northwest team that had an absolute brawl, and I mean literally a brawl, against Kalamazoo Central in a two-point game last night. Just looking forward to competing because they're really, really good, and they're under the radar. I don't know how you come in under the radar at 23-2, but you know, they haven't played a lot of our area teams, so this will be other than Mason. So this will be a very, very competitive game, and they will bring a huge crowd. So it's going to be fun.
Rob, can you take us through last night's regional semifinal win over Battle Creek Lakeview? Convincing victory by looking at the score, but looking at the news last night at 11 o'clock, you still weren't pleased about the little details. Expound on that.
Well, you know, we're sloppy with the ball. I thought we played faster than our minds could catch up to, and sometimes. And I think the kids were excited because they knew that this was a team that, you know, at every position we had a good opportunity to compete and win battles. And I thought we hurried a little bit. Karen, who is probably, in my mind, if she's not the best player in the state, I want to know who is. But she's right up there in the top five and in the conversation being the best. She struggled early. It was kind of a funny deal. You know, they put a brand-new basketball out there that's never been used before, and, you know, they're really sticky. And, you know, she doesn't miss layups, and she missed, like, five wide-open layups in a row. And she's like, Coach, the ball's sticking in my hand. And you know, I kind of figured that, you know. And so we're trying to talk. I'm going to use a regular ball on Thursday. But anyways, she got through that. And, you know, I think that's kind of what started my frustration. And then to – you know, when I looked at the stat sheet after the game, you know, we had turned the ball over 20 times. And, you know, if you do that against a more athletic, more competitive, at least more evenly matched squad, you're gonna go home disappointed. And this time of year, you don't get another chance. So that's why we need to clean things up. We need to execute a lot better and, you know, establish a pace of game that's going to favor us.
Now, Rob, I got to go back to the basketball. What kind of ball did they use and throw out to you guys, and why did they make the change? I'm curious.
So it was just, you know, being that it's a regional and Mason was host, I think they were excited about it. And it was just, everything was so beautiful there, and including, you know, the brand new ball that they just bought, you know, right out of the box. And what we generally like to do is rotate those new balls into practice for a few weeks and then use them as game balls. And so hopefully they'll go back to the original game ball so that we don't have that problem. But, hey, you know, both teams had to play with the ball, so it's not like, you know, it was just hurting us. And we've made some adjustments here today already and look forward to making some more in practice, which will, I'm sure, mentally make us a lot tougher moving into the game against Jackson Northwest.
Now, Rob, when it comes to the little preparation that you have in between games during this time of the year, of course, coupled with the anxiety of being one and done, are you ever content or satisfied with your team's preparation before a game during the madness of March?
Yeah, I felt before the Waverly game and the district championship that the coaches and the players had literally, the parents, we had done everything that we could to prepare for that game. We had the Spartan Performance team in, rolling the kids out, working with us on nutrition, getting us mentally prepared. We had the parents bringing in team dinner. We had coaches that established and created a wonderful scouting report. So we knew exactly what we had to do. We knew that it would just come down to whether or not the ball would go in the basket more than Waverly, and it really worked out. So I was pleased with that. You know, it's tough to coach teenagers sometimes. You know, when they see the writing on the wall, they're going to win a game pretty easily. You know, it's hard to reel them in. But this team, I've noticed that when we play Hazlitt, when we play, you know, Waverly, those kind of teams, and there's something on the line, they really seem to dial it in. And I truly believe that we're going to dial it in on Thursday night and play some of our best basketball of the year.
Rob, I got to know, my man, with a day in between games, how many hours, if you had to put a number on it, how many hours do you think you will spend preparing for this matchup, you know, since the time that the final buzzer sounded last night to move on to the time tip-off happens at 7 p.m. tomorrow night against Jackson Northwest? How many hours are you putting in to prepare for this one?
Oh, geez, it's been nonstop. I got about 3.5 hours of sleep last night.
No, really?
We decided to stay and watch the Kalamazoo Central game and the Jackson Northwest game, and we wanted to get that live feel for it. And of course, we had the video afterwards up on Hulu right away. So when I got home, we went over that again, and then we went over a couple other games where they played Mason and a few other teams, and then you know, we just kind of put together what I would call an incomplete scouting report. And then throughout the course of the day, as the coaches kind of chime in on their vision of what they see and what we want to do. You know, I usually hear from anywhere between 8 to 10 people at a time. And, you know, and I kind of take in what they have to say. And then, you know, right about now, before the last practice to prepare for the game, we're just finalizing that scouting report. And ultimately, this time of year, you want to hear from your team. So you don't really put a stamp on it until every player's had a chance to give their opinion of how we should compete and how we should approach it strategy-wise. And so that'll take place tonight. And then, you know, we'll eat again together as a team and have a good day at school tomorrow. And then we'll go over there and go through our regular routine and get through the process of, you know, trying to be successful. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll throw it up and see what happens. So, I don't know. To answer your question, I mean, pretty much every hour but the 3.5 that I swap.
That's unbelievable. Rob, I'm sure you are an avid coffee drinker, are you?
Well, you know, I generally drink a cup or two in the morning before I go to school, and then I'll bring my mug in with me this time of year, and I get through about half of that. But it gets cold and kind of unacceptable, and so it just kind of sits there for a while. But, you know, I got to tell you, it's kind of a funny story. I'm a health teacher, and I'm definitely dead set against pot, but I did manage to sneak out and grab a Diet Coke today just to kind of
don't
take it to another level.
We'll keep that between you and I, all right?
You bet.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Rob Smith. He is the head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. And Rob, really briefly, I want to go back to something you just noted. I love, and I didn't know you do this, but I love how you give your players an opportunity to voice their opinion on how they think they should attack a matchup going into the game. When did you start that? Is that something new?
No, we've been doing that, especially later in the season, the playoffs, going back 10 years now, it's even more prevalent now than ever. But, I just feel like if the players can take ownership to the game plan and it's their idea and they finalize it and we put their stamp on it, then they're going to go out and execute it a lot better if they're just being told to do it by the coach. You know how teenagers are, they want it to be their idea. And I'm fine with that because, I got to tell you 9.9 times out of 10, they're right on the bullseye.
Certainly. Now, Rob, I want to take a trip back to January. You guys were 2-5, 1-1 in the CAAC Blue. Then a certain 5'5 guard from West Virginia named Taryn McCutcheon joined the team. First off, Rob, how did this come about?
Well, you're saying 5'5". I think she's grown a couple inches since January then, but she had some personal decisions that she had to make based on her situation in West Virginia she said she just had to pray on, and along with her family made the decision to come here early. I'm not sure that basketball was even in the plan. She was going to be here early to work on, skills, getting ready to do. And then, of course, she looked into seeing if she could play, and she could, and she ended up here. And it was just like angel sent from the heaven above, really.
Now, she was the West Virginia Player of the Year as a junior, and you've gone on record to say that she is the best player you've ever coached. What makes her so good, Rob?
Well, first of all, she's the best ball handler I've ever seen in this area, to be honest with you. And I've watched a lot of ball handling here. I mean, I put her up there with anyone, Kristen Haney, just to name one that was amazing in this area. But she is a great shooter. She can shoot from deep. She steps back further if you get closer. She can take you off the dribble and finish at the 10. She is an excellent passer. As a matter of fact, most of her passes that aren't completed are because the player's not ready for it or they're not in the right position. She is an excellent defender. She anticipates well. She really doesn't have a weakness. Probably the two things that are most impressive is number one, her basketball IQ is off the charts. She's like having having old coaches speak. They say it all the time. The point guard has to be a coach on the floor, but she's a coach on the floor, and she's better than the coach on the bench. So a lot of times I just sit there and just smile and enjoy it. And then, of course, the second thing would just be that she's a phenomenal kid. I mean, she's a wonderful young lady. She's polite. She's gracious. She's humble. She's energetic. And most importantly, she's very, very thankful for her teammates, and she lifts them up off the court. And that's really what's helped this team the most, because when we were struggling, we just had a hard time with chemistry, and we had a hard time with, of course, some issues that were going on at school here. We had a couple students pass away, and it was just really down times. And now hopefully this little bit of success that we're having, and along with the boys program being so successful now together, which is really unprecedented, that for the two to be doing that, we can just kind of lift East Lansing up a little bit and give the student body and the faculty and the administration and our parents something to really celebrate.
Rob, how have you gone about coaching a talent like McCutcheon? And what's the maturation process been like for the players around Taryn to sort of adjust to her style of play and her game? But how do you approach that as a coach?
Well, initially when she came in, we just went ahead and pretended it was the first day of practice, and we literally changed everything that we did offensively to fit to her skill set and to get the best out of the kids around her. And, I think the one thing that maybe goes unnoticed here is that I have three or four kids that can shoot lights out. But we didn't really have the kind of point guard that can obviously do the things that Taryn can do. And now that they get to go to their favorite spots and do the things that they're good at, and Taryn takes care of her business, it was really magical right from the start. I mean, that first game she played, we beat Grand Ledge like 82-46, and they were the blue favorite. After that, it was just a matter of explaining our defensive philosophy. And of course, she fit really well into that because she was just, such a great anticipator and such a wonderful athlete. I just kind of let her go and do her thing because she's so smart. But at the same time, as we've progressed, I've been able to coach her up a little bit. And as you know, I can be a little bit fiery sometimes. And, you know, mostly when she gets a little bit, mustard on it, she really reacts well. She really reacts well and ups her level of play. And as a matter of fact, I'm like, well, did I cross the line? And I'll say, hey, are you okay? And she'll just say, no, I need you to do that. I need you to get on me. And I'm like, well, there you go.
So she doesn't crawl up in her shell if you challenge her.
No, not at all. She's like I said, she struggled a little bit last night to shoot the ball, but 99% of the time she's going to elevate her game when you ask her to, and which, I mean, there's not a lot much more for improvement there, but you know, the bottom line is she's going to play in the Big Ten next year, and I know Susie Merchant isn't going to take it easy on her. She's going to push her beyond what she thinks she can do, which is a really high level, but that's how Susie operates. And I just look for MSU to kind of pick it up from here and really push her to that next level and get her playing, great basketball next season at Michigan State.
Yes, she is certainly going to be fun to watch next year, donning the green and white. Folks, we are chatting with Rob Smith, head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. All right, Rob, again, this is a Jackson Northwest team that has only lost two games on the year, barely squeaked out with a dub against Kalamazoo Central last night. What kind of team is Northwest?
Well, they're a well-coached team. They're senior-dominated, so they have four senior starters and a freshman. They've played together since they were like three. They have a huge fan base. They play with a lot of energy. They have a lot of endurance. They've won their last two games pretty much at the end of the game. One was a buzzer beater against Mason. So they know what it takes to win the close ones. Their only two losses this year were to a real good Marshall team. And the thing about Jackson Northwest is that they can go inside with Kuhn. They're a senior Division II player that's going Lake Superior State, and they can kick it out to the shooters, and they generally have three or four really good shooters outside spreading the perimeter. So we're going to have to make sure that we get out and challenge the shots, and of course it probably comes down to rebounding and boxing out and getting the things we want to do in transition.
Rob, what's your coaching staff like, and how do you all go about preparing for a game in one day?
Win, lose, or draw, I can't ever remember having this caliber of a coaching staff. I mean, when you can bring somebody like All-American kid like Sammy Tucker, who played for me back in, 07, 08, 09, to bring her Division I college experience back to our bench, and Molly Christofferson, out an all-area player out of Muskegon, and Cosette Buckberry, a player that played for me when we went to the state championship games, and our freshman coach, and a guy like Caleb Miller, who coaches our JV, who's he's coached a couple different stints in St. John's and New Lothrop as their varsity coach. And I mean, the list just kind of goes on and on, but just the general support staff around here, especially to be coaching a female team and to have three or four female coaches that can relate to the girls, it's irreplaceable.
Gotta love that. All right, I got one more for you, Rob. Is this year state championship or bust, or has this team already exceeded expectations?
Well, we've done some great things, and we're in the conversation every game that we play, I think, moving forward. But it's like I told the kids, I said, whether you win or lose, that what's most important is that you have the family that you created as a team. That you have that chemistry and that bond, that in that legacy that you leave behind, that's forever. And these kids, are one of seven teams to win a district title in the last 10 years, and looking for that seventh regional title. And now your picture and your reputation and your legacy is up there with so many other phenomenal athletes and players who went through here. That you just got to be proud of that. It's something to be proud to tell your kids and your grandkids someday, and who knows, maybe, share a similar experience with them as they mature through our program.
Again, the one, the only Rob Smith, head basketball coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. They will play Jackson Northwest tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the regional final. Rob, on behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, good luck tomorrow night, my friend.
Al, thank you very much. I really appreciate being on the program, and I appreciate what you do for our community.
Hey, it is always great having you on the show. We'll be in touch, all right?
All right, you take care now.
Rob Smith, gotta love Rob, man. Love his competitiveness as well. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by, again, discussing the situation going on with Maria Sharapova. We'll also hit on the new details concerning that drug case around Sharapova and give you guys a preview of the Big Ten tournament and also Dana White blaming Holly Holm's manager. Don't miss that and more. We'll be right back.
From local issues.
If Lansing Township doesn't pay, the county is on the hook.
To national impact.
I never went into the show thinking that I would win the show. The thing that I, what was always on my mind was kind of maintaining integrity and doing what I do.
WKAR's Current State focuses on Michigan. Current State daily on 90.5 FM, AM 870, always at WKAR.org.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just under 10 minutes left here on today's show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to give you guys an update from spring training. And the Detroit Tigers, they are playing the Washington Nationals right now. And the Tigers are up 2-0 in the bottom of the second. So far, the Tigers have gone 5-4. Throughout spring training, and the Nats have gone 6-1. So maybe the Tigers can hand the Nats their second loss. So, 2-0. Tigers, bottom of the second. Also, folks, the Big Ten men's basketball tournament gets underway today, starting officially at 4:30 p.m. Illinois versus Minnesota. That should be just one hard game to watch. I mean, Minnesota and Illinois are just, they're not great. And then you have Nebraska taking on Rutgers. I will say Minnesota's had some marquee wins here and there, though. I will say that. But then you got Nebraska and Rutgers. The first round today, 4:30, Illinois, Minnesota. Then you got Nebraska and Rutgers. Not great teams, but they play today. Second round, tomorrow, you can catch Michigan taking on Northwestern at noon. Then Iowa, at approximately 2:30 p.m., they will play the winner of that Illinois-Minnesota game. Then you have Ohio State and Penn State at 6:30. And then around 9 p.m., you've got Wisconsin playing the winner of the Nebraska and Rutgers game. So the Big Ten tournament, again, folks, March Madness is here. Can't believe it's already here. And Michigan State, again, they don't play until Friday, okay? That's when Sparty will play Friday at around 6:30 p.m. Michigan State takes on the winner of Ohio State and Penn State, all right? So, and again, you know, looking at Michigan State in this year's Big Ten tournament, at worst, let's say Michigan State does lose to the winner of that Ohio State and Penn State matchup, okay, on Friday. Michigan State, at worst, I think, is still, at worst, is 2-seed. In the NCAA tourney. What they've done this year has been so impressive. They've got a player in Denzel Valentine that can certainly make an argument for National Player of the Year. You know, Buddy Hield and Denzel. I mean, those are the two names you hear left and right. Denzel has already won the USA Today National Player of the Year Award. He's already won the Big Ten Player of the Year Award. So well-deserving. But Michigan State, I mean, what they've done has been so impressive this year that I don't see Michigan State being lower than a 2-seed. And if they were to win the Big Ten tournament this weekend, you better believe you will see a number one next to the Spartans' name. without a doubt. So Big Ten tournament gets underway today. I wanted to get that out there. And also, you know, before we had Rob Smith on the show, and was Rob fantastic or what? Just great insight as to what coaches go through around this time of the year, not just in the college ranks, but in the high school ranks. I'm so curious to dive into a coach's mind when you have all of the pressure surrounded around you, being one and done in a tournament format. You know, if you lose, you kaput. That's it. No state championship for you. How do you approach that mentally, and how do you inspire your kids to calm the nerves, to just go out there and execute? I'm so interested to see how coaches approach that challenge, and Rob is one of the best to do it in this area. One of the best to do it, and it helps when he has the talent that he has on his squad. Tara McCutcheon, if you haven't seen her play, oh my goodness, she's unbelievable. And this is a compliment in the basketball world. And I've heard this, you know, every time I've seen McCutcheon play, I hear this comment from individuals that have gone and seen her play. Like the other day, I'm at the barbershop last week, right? And I'm at the barbershop sitting down and, you know, I'm getting questions from my barber about, you know, my thoughts in the high school basketball tournament for boys and girls. And then my barber, he stops and says, "Man, have you seen Taryn McCutcheon of East Lansing play?" And I'm saying, "Yeah, she's a beast, right?" And again, this is a compliment in the basketball world when discussing girls basketball. He said, quote, "Man, she plays like a dude out there." It's a compliment, folks, because the way she moves, I mean, her athleticism can transcend directly to that of the boys' game. She's that good. So if you haven't seen Taryn McCutcheon play, you got to check her out. All right, again, I promised my thoughts on this Sharapova situation. And for me, again, this is a woman who's won 5 Grand Slam singles titles, about $40 million in career prize money. And what's so mind-boggling is that Sharapova, you know, she's going to lose some endorsements because of this. You know, anytime you're caught doing something illegal and caught using drugs that are on the ban list within your sport, you're going to catch some flack and you're going to have, you know, endorsements drop you. Simple as that. But what's so fascinating is that Maria Sharapova, she hasn't been dominant within the sport as of late. We all know that Serena Williams has been the face of the sport, and she has certainly done her thing. Came just short of making history last year. But with that being said, with Serena dominating in the wins column, Maria Sharapova is still the highest paid women's tennis player. That blows my mind. Blows my mind. I think that's going to change now. But now, you know, the question is, okay, how should the sports officials handle this situation? Well, for me, when looking at Meladonium, you know, it's commercially, you know, known, you know, as Mildrontinate. Now, it's not FDA approved, commonly used in Eastern Europe to treat people with heart problems to increase the blood's ability to deliver oxygen to tissues, to give Sharapova more energy. More energy. That's what she was looking for here. I don't know how big of an advantage Sharapova has when taking this drug. If at all, if an advantage of all. I've been reading, actually, before we took the air today, I read a few, you know, statements from doctors when evaluating this drug, Meladonium, that if anything, it may even hurt her out there on the tennis court because you exhaust so much energy in such a confined space of time, in what, 2 hours, 3 hours of play during a tennis match, that by the time you're halfway through it, she needs another pill to get back into that mode. So I don't know. It's very interesting. Should she be punished? Yes, she broke the rules. She broke the rules. Simple as that. And really the shadiest part of her explanation was the fact that she ignored 2 emails, both sent months apart in September and January, regarding the first investigation of Meladonium, then to declare the subsequent banning of the drug. So she ignored warnings from the sports hierarchy saying that, hey, if you use this drug, you're going to be in trouble. So I have a problem with that. If you break rules, you got to be punished. But I don't think it should be like a year ban here. Give her a slap on the wrist. Make her sit out a few majors and to wake her up. You know, because she had legitimate concerns here when it comes to her overall health as to why she took this drug. So I don't think you should completely bash her. I mean, look at baseball. Do I really need to go there? Do I really need to go there with baseball? I won't, okay? All right. Well, less than a minute left, folks. I'll table these thoughts for tomorrow's show. Again, Dana White blaming the manager of Holly Holm for putting Holly in a predicament this past weekend to fight Misha Tate, a fight in which Holly Holm did lose. And also, I'll address the question, does a sport hurt or benefit when its superstars face defeat? That and so much more on tomorrow's show, but much thanks to Rob Smith, head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team, for joining me on today's show. Shout out to Drew Hill for holding it down another day, another dollar, as Isaac is enjoying the beautiful sun out in New Orleans for spring break. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it on Thursday. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.